Chapter 2. Value One Another. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do all the people in your community know that you are Christ's disciples? How would they know it? The Bible tells us they will know it by our love for one another. Lots of folks have told me their church is a loving church. They say, we all just love one another. If that is so, maybe you need to ask the people who don't go to your church if that is true. People in the community are watching and listening, and oftentimes what they hear is anything but love. In other words, do we love one another 24/7 and not just when we are at church? I am a member of an adult Sunday school class. I'm rarely there because I am teaching or preaching most Sundays in churches throughout Louisiana. My family has been through a lot over the last several years. What has been incredible has been the love and friendship offered to me in the midst of those difficult days. All of my adult life has been committed to serving and ministering to others. When life happens to me, it can be difficult for me to accept ministry from others. What I hear often is, "If you need anything, just let us know." I'm sure they mean it when they say it, but my Sunday school class is different. They didn't ask, they acted. They showed up with a meal, called me to pray for me, offered to take my daughter to her scheduled events, sent me a card, and more. What is significant about my class is not only that they care about, but they showed up. They inconvenienced themselves to take care of me. Sunday school can easily become routine. We sit around the same people and they just become a part of the scenery. One Sunday, somebody shows up and announces that they are separated from their spouse. We are surprised by the announcement. Why didn't we know? It's because Sunday school has become a routine. We show up every week and go through the motions of caring. Oftentimes we ask, "How are you doing?" But do we really want to know? If we knew, we might have to do something about it, and that could affect our lives and possibly inconvenience us. I know I'm not talking about you personally. It's all the other folks in our churches. But could some of what I'm saying be true for you and your church? I'm convinced that the number one problem in most Sunday schools is that we really don't care about people. Well, we say we do. We really do want to care. But when we get to the nitty-gritty of life, we don't. Now, I know there are many people that you do care about. Just like in my Sunday school class, they cared for me. But does everyone on your Sunday school class list get the same treatment? If they do, your class is the exception and not the rule. Many of our members are neglected, if not outright ignored. How can we be a church that loves one another, even to those people we know will rarely attend? Investing in and caring for people takes time. Back at the end of the last century, a term was used to describe the suburban culture, cocooning. Decades earlier, many homes had front porches. We knew our neighbors. We knew their faults as well as their strengths. We knew one another. We took time to visit and check on people. We were nosy. Then we began to cocoon. Just like today, we leave work, get in the car, drive into a garage, close the door, and enter our home without one hello, much less a wave to a neighbor. Do we even know our neighbor's name? It is not only a disease that affects the suburbs, now it affects cities and rural areas alike. Make a quick mental picture of those in your Sunday school class this past Sunday. Do you know everyone's name? If they missed a Sunday, would you miss them? If they missed 2 weeks, would you be concerned? If they missed 3 weeks in a row, would you call them, send them a note, or better yet, drop by and check on them? We know that if a person misses 4 weeks in a row and is not contacted, they will stay home or look for another group that will notice that they are not present. Our churches are filled with stories of non-attending members who were at one time active in a Sunday school class or small group. When asked why they don't attend, many simply say they didn't notice I was gone. My point is not to beat you down, but to challenge you and me to love everyone in our class. Take the time to care. Get in the habit of calling them, sending a personal note, or dropping by to see how they're doing. Don't do it only when they miss. Do it every week. Why not contact every member every week? That way, nobody gets left out. When you do, don't talk about their attendance or non-attendance. Talk about them. Pray for them. Love on them. Invite them to upcoming special events or class functions. Send them a personal email with a verse or a personal thought that you had had about something you read in your quiet time or Bible study. Write them a card telling them how much you appreciate their faithful attendance. Send them a birthday card. Drop by for a brief visit and give them a candy bar, a cake, a soda, a card, an invitation. How about a Sunday school member book? Do something. Take the time to personally touch them. Contact every member every week somehow. To me, it is interesting that different age group leaders usually contact in the same way very well. Spend time observing some of your older adult classes. Many of them habitually stay in touch with their members. Older adult classes tend to be well structured and organized. They tend to stay in touch more often and know more of the issues their members are dealing with than other adult classes. Most youth classes are highly relational and have lots of events where the leaders can get to know the students in their class. And they will also send an occasional text message. Children's workers are usually the best at sending cards or notes. Preschool leaders tend to be the best at calling the house and talking to mom and dad and sometimes the preschooler themselves. All of these approaches are great, but the secret is to use a variety of methods to stay in contact with your members. Remember to contact every member every week. Different people use different acronyms to help us remember ways to make contacts. MTV for mail, telephone, visits. How about MPV? For mail, phone, visits, or PVC, for phone, visit, card, just to name a few. Regardless of which acronym you want to use, there are some basic principles to follow. Make the mail personal. The first basic principle is to make the note, birthday card, email, text message, or letter personal. Typing and sending an email address to everyone is not a personal email. Forwarding an email is not a personal note unless you put a personal note to the person you're emailing. Sending someone a card is fine if you add a personal note to it. Sending a group text to everyone in your class is fine if you're trying to get out a quick announcement, but not for keeping up with the people in your class. Send a personal text message to a specific person. One idea I found helpful is to make a list of each member I am responsible for contacting each week on a master prayer list. Every day, select two or three names from the list and pray for them. On that day, send them a personal note letting them know you prayed for them. This note could be a pre-printed card with a special note written and hand addressed, a personal text message, or a personal email. During chapel service each week at the Baptist building, we pray for folks in ministry in our state. One particular day, our chapel leader gave us the cell phone number of each person included on the prayer list. While praying for them, we texted them a brief note to let them know we were praying for them that day. How cool is that? When I've received those kinds of text messages, it has encouraged my life at times when I needed it most. Who knows what was going on when they actually received the message and the impact that prayer text might have had at that specific moment. When I get a pre-printed, non-personalized advertisement or brochure in the mail, my usual response is to throw it away without even reading it. Rarely have I received a handwritten letter or card that I threw away without reading it. If an email comes with a great subject line or personal note, I'll read it right away. A quick text message is easy to read and respond to. I block those senders who continue to send me text messages that went to lots of people. Remember, a personal note to a specific person, brief is best, regardless of the medium used, will always be read and appreciated. Use the phone wisely. Next to being there in person, you can't beat a conversation on a phone. Face it, an email, a text message, a card, or letter conveys words, but not emotions. Only by hearing their voice can you read through the words. If you can't be there in person, a phone call helps you know what a person is really saying and not just the words they choose to use. We can use this powerful tool to impact the lives of people who are members of our class. The often repeated message of phone calls is, "We missed you last week and hope to see you this Sunday." As grateful as I am that we are at least doing that, there might be a better way to connect with people through the phone. Realize that when we call an absentee and all we tell them is that they were missed, we are communicating that we value only attendance. It comes across as caring about a number more than an individual. I know you care about them, but that is not what they are hearing in that phone call. Instead, call them and never mention attendance at all. Ask them questions about how things are going in their life or about any recent developments and situations you have previously discussed. Follow those questions by asking how you and the class can pray for them this week and if there are needs in their life that the class or group could meet. After that, inform them of upcoming events that the class or group is planning over the next several weeks. Remind them of what the next lesson will cover and share class prayer requests without gossiping. Always end the conversation by praying for and with them. When you take this approach, you are communicating that you care about them and not just their attendance. Don't misunderstand me. We want them to attend. But they need to know we care about them, what's happening in their life, and how we can minister to and with them. It's about more than filling a seat. A phone call is a great way to connect with someone at your leisure. But make sure you act on any information discovered during the phone call. Earn the right to have people trust you with stuff from their personal life. If we don't act, that could be worse than not calling at all. Before we move away from making phone calls, let's take some time to look at contacting guests by phone. You can use your phone to set an appointment to visit them, give them a warning that you're on your way, or to follow up after a visit. Resist the temptation to only call guests. While a phone call is better than nothing, a personal visit done right speaks louder than a card or a phone call. Go face to face. To show that you care about someone as an individual, the highest form of contact is a personal visit. I'm a member of the church that visits the home of guests and prospects in our community. It is mostly a rural community, and it is in the South. That being said, I can't tell you the number of times I have been welcomed by families into their home. When I leave, they usually thank me for the visit. When some of these families have joined our church, they share that one of the reasons they did so was because we were the only ones to visit them. Visits still matter. They still work. My church uses the faith strategy for making visits. During the fall and winter spring semesters of our faith ministry, we may have as many as 75 people in teams of three visiting in homes in our community. Our church averages just a little less than 700 in Sunday school. Doing the math, that means every week, one out of every 10 people in my church is making at least one, usually more, personal visits with guests, newcomers, prospects, the elderly, the homebound, students, and families. And we do it for one reason, because it works. Something like that doesn't happen overnight. As a matter of fact, our pastor would say it took years. The truth is, it doesn't matter how large or how small your church may be. It all started small and then grows from there. Every church and Sunday school class can make personal visits to its prospects, members, and guests. It has to start somewhere, and that could be with you. Put together a plan and begin to work your plan. Did you notice that every class can visit every member? Consider establishing a goal to make a personal visit to every member once a quarter. That's 4 visits a year. If that is a struggle, how about twice a year? Once again, the key is to have a plan and work that plan. These types of visits don't even have to be in someone's home. You can meet for lunch during the week, at their work, but make sure that's okay with their boss first. or at a social or sporting event. Find a way to spend time with them. Don't talk about just Sunday school while you're with them. Focus on them. Some more ideas for making contact. Fellowships. Lead your class to plan a fellowship at least once every quarter. Some may want to plan them as much as once every month. Vary the location and type of fellowship. Sometimes it can be just for fun, like a progressive dinner or to watch a ball game together. For preschoolers and their parents, consider a play date. For children, you could rent a jumper and put it in your backyard. For youth, it might be a scavenger hunt. Be creative and get the class involved in the planning. The class that plays together stays together. Ministry projects. Sometimes a fellowship can be centered on a ministry action. You could plan a special Bible study about a topic that continues to be an issue with many in the class. You could also plan a special ministry project to a family in your community that has great need. It doesn't have to always be about fun and games. Sometimes it can be more powerful to see people informally interacting with one another about issues they are facing or working side by side with someone replacing an entry deck for a trailer occupied by a distraught or needy family. Dinner clubs. Another way to build relationships is to assign all the members to dinner clubs. Encourage the clubs to host each other in their homes and enjoy a meal together or to meet at a local restaurant. After they have completed one cycle, reshuffle the groups so that people can get to know each other better without becoming too cliquish. This works with students as well. It starts with you. All it takes is one person to start caring and wait for God to work. Your attitude will be contagious. Don't accept your present reality. Make the change in your life that would help you love others in a way that you want to have others love you. Remember, Sunday school is not about fulfilling job responsibilities. Sunday school is about people. Imagine a church where people genuinely cared for one another and took the time to show it. God's Word tells us that the community in which we live, work, and minister will know we are His disciples by our love for one another.